And our next performer I met through T.J. Anderson. T.J. wrote a concerto for him in which the piano part is completely improvised. The orchestra has its part, but the pianist does something different every night. And when I told T.J. about tonight's program, he said, call Donnell. He can play anything. So ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the green space, Mr. Donnell Fox.
Is on. Don't worry, Terrence, I'm not taking your job. But we're talking about improvisation, and we think of that in this century, primarily with jazz now. But if you read about the great European composers and Beethoven and Bach, they were all improvising. This notion that the score was sacrosanct and you couldn't change anything, that's new, that's in the conservatories. Back then they were grooving, Beethoven was breaking his strings on the piano and going wild. So part of that tradition, I'm gonna take a Brahms song. Terrence, how do you say it better? You're the radio announcer, the Brahms song.
Which one?
The one I'm gonna play.
Okay. Die Trauernde.
Good enough. It's an early song of Brahms. And what's interesting is to take this, I'm going to improvise in a classical style. I mean, with modern harmonies, but I'm not really going to try to swing it or anything. And it's interesting to take that approach. And then you'll see I'll do, after that, a piece that's using chords from TJ's music. I call it Four Chords that he wrote several years ago. And I improvise on those chords in a style that TJ sort of works with, which is both post-Webernist, you know, sort of pointillistic and rhythmical. So I hope you enjoy it.
Thank you.
improvisations on Bach's Prelude in D minor from Book 2 of the Royal Temple Clavier. Art Tatum on the right hand, Johann Sebastian Bach on the left, Donald Fox in the middle.
You know what I love about this is that it kind of it takes care of the idea that if you play jazz, that you do that because you can't play classical music. And there are a lot of people who have that belief. They say, oh, well, he went to jazz or she went to jazz because she couldn't sing pure tones or he couldn't hang with the classical literature, so they played jazz instead, as if, anyway. Hi. Hi.
Keep going.
Okay, so someone gave you a piece of paper with some notes on it and it wasn't enough for you. And no matter how many notes were on there, there weren't enough for you. Or not even the notes so much, but the ideas.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit about how come you started to play in this way, and make sure you get, so we can get it all. We want it all. Yes.
Yeah, when I was very young at our house, there was, distinctly remember three pieces of music, or not pieces, but composer sounds. One was Bach cantatas. Father loved Bach cantatas. Igor Stravinsky's ballets, The Rite of Spring. So like, you know, I'm like 6 years old going, okay, I'm trying to make headway with that. And in the middle there was Miles Davis' Birth of the Cool. So I've been trying to reconcile that ever since. So, and then also, I mean, as I was mentioning historically, when I was reading more and more about, you know, you're studying with, I studied with Jeanette Jaguar, and most of the, when you study classical piano, as Roy was indicating, there's just a certain rigidness to it. And I'd come in and I'd warm up playing some boogie-woogie in our Steinway. She said, what the hell are you doing? You can't play my Steinway playing that music. And I'd play it louder. Then I'd play some boogie in the middle of the Beethoven. You know? That's a form of rebellion because I was trying to bring all these different cultures, all this different music together in a way that was part of who I was in the American fabric. Mm-hmm. You know, and I didn't want to leave any of it out, you know. And then I was trained as a composer, and I think that's a lot of it, you know, bringing in ideas that just come to me when I'm playing the classics, then something will pop up, and I'll just take a left turn. And then sometimes it's ideas that actually end up in, you know, written compositions.
You know. Donald, can you teach that, what you just
yes.
did? Where do you begin?
Well, actually, you know, it's funny, because I was at MLK... scholar at MIT for a couple of years, and I designed a course on musical improvisation for minors. I mean, they're basically studying physics and engineering and all those things you do at MIT. Most people go, MIT, music department? Mm-hmm. It's a large humanities department. And it was amazing how when people realize they can be free and go back into that sandbox, because you think of a child, and you bring a child to the piano, for example, they'll start banging around and thunder and lightning, and they'll do things. And then all of a sudden, it's a little bit of this, you know, no, your hand's supposed to be this way. That's not what's written. And it sort of confines your creativity. So that when you open up, as Thelonious Monk said, there are no wrong notes. There are no mistakes. You know, that sort of mindset, that approach it with an open and creative mind, and you can find, you know, a language that might be part of who you really are.
Mm-hmm. So when you were a composer in residence with the St. Louis Symphony, what did you do? I mean, were you able to weave any of your pianistic style into writing for orchestra? Any of this kind of hybrid style into that orchestra?
Well, actually, it was great. Lenny Slatkin was the director at the time. Mm-hmm. And he encouraged all the principal players of the orchestra to get together with me and to learn how to improvise. Mm-hmm. And I remember that first occasion, we're all in the room, and of course, they're looking at me and going, okay, we're gonna play some blues or something. And I sat down and I started playing Scarlatti Sonatas. See, it's a mindset there. It's like, oh, wait a minute. And so they said, oh, okay, he knows our music. And I said, who in the room here knows Thelonious Monk? Can you play any Monk? No. Okay, we're gonna start now. That's the cross-cultural aspect. And then at the end of that first session, everybody was like, can I have more parts to improvise? I want to do more improvisation. Because they were having fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want you all to just take a second and look around this room, because we always hear about the lack of diversity in classical music audiences. I don't see it in here. It looks pretty diverse. Yeah. Why do you think that is? Why is this audience diverse tonight? What happened in here tonight, Helga?
What?
What happened?
I was going to say a lot, Terrence, your history being here and bringing these different points of view through your radio show, what you do, I mean, the station, the particular theme of this program. We're in New York. I won't name another state, but maybe.
What do you all think? Quick.
Relevant theme.
The theme?
Classical.
New York. There we go.
Yeah. I've been to concerts in New York before.
But also, you know, venue. Think about when we talk about, so you take Symphony Hall, you take Carnegie Hall. I mean, a lot of things are opening up there too, you know, with Zanko Hall and different. But there is this, whether it's true or not, this sense that it has some class strata, right? That, okay, that's not really belongs to us if we go to Carnegie Hall. All Carnegie Halls, we're going out for that special occasion. This is a more open thing where it's not really any class division. It's saying that we're coming here to enjoy and communicate, you know, in a more relaxed fashion. Mm-hmm. You know. I mean, you ever think about this. You go to a club or you come here. I mean, I hardly hear anybody coughing in here, right? You go to a concert hall. I mean, how engaged are they?
Since you, Danielle, since you ended, I just had to clear my throat. Since you ended with Bach, we're going to continue with Bach, since you talked about some of his vocal music growing up listening to. Helga was in the green space recently. She's been on this project with Philip Glass's music, and they brought a chorus in here. Why don't you set this up for us, Helga, this next music?
So I'm on tour in Einstein on the Beach.